December 16, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waqf Uddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, we have a couple of announcements. We're asking everyone to make a prayer for our brother Sultan, Richard 35 X Wilder. May Allah forgive him of his faults and bless him with a high place in the paradise. Also, our beloved brother Ronald Salahuddin is in the hospital, and we are asking you to make a prayer for his speedy recovery. May God bless him to have a speedy recovery. The Lord of Israel is exclusive of the rest of humanity. The Quran is canceling out the error in the Bible. So no, he is not the Lord of Israel. He is the Lord of all the worlds, not just Israel. They must have done something wrong saying the Lord of Israel, and they did. Where did you get the nerve to say that God is your Lord and not the Lord of everybody? They are establishing themselves as an exclusive people who have rights before God or in the presence of God that all other people don't have. And this is a big sin. And this is what the Quran is addressing right here in this surah, this chapter, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. It's one time and then again, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, repeated. Is this repeated twice for no reason? No. It is repeated twice for a real good reason. The same people who say God is their Lord in a very exclusive way, to make themselves his only begotten. That is what it says, not Jesus Christ. You need to come away from the church now and come to the masjid and hear Imam W.D. Muhammad give you what you missed in the church. David is called the only begotten of God before Jesus is called the only begotten. And that is why the one that they point to, the Jews say, Jesus, the son of David. And if he's not the son of David, we can't accept him as Christ. Only David the Christ must come through the lineage of David. That is the Jews' position. The Quran's position is that you are wrong to make these claims. God is the God of everybody. The Lord of everybody, it says, Rabbin Nas. Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas. That is in the chapter of the Quran. It says, no, he is not the Lord of Israel. He is Rabbin Nas, the Lord of mankind. Malikin Nas, the king, the master of mankind. It means the judge who is going to set over everybody and judge over everybody. Ilahin Nas. And he is the God. Ilah means what you worship. He is Ilahinaz, He is who mankind should worship. This is the Quran. So Jesus crucified is the Father sacrificing himself. Previous scripture says the Lord repented and he made man. Rahim is repeated because they acknowledge that God is El-Rahman and that he is El-Rahim from generation down to generation. And then came the idea that God did something wrong and he has to repent his own creation that he made, man, because man has messed up the world. So he repents, and how does he repent? He comes in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, peace be upon him. And then he repenting and giving his life, sacrificing the life of his Son, which is his life. Understand that now, in this so-called logic, that is not logic at all, he's sacrificing his Son, but actually his Son is him. He puts himself in the flesh so people in the flesh can see him sacrificing himself. Then he sacrificed himself, and then sacrifices the mercy. So he was a harsh God too, harsh now. Here come the new faith. This is the loving God, the Jesus Christ. This is me again. I'm coming again. Don't you like me now? See how I suffered for your sake. Instead of punishing you, I suffered. You had too much of me punishing, so now I come to love you, even if you treat me bad and hate me. I love you, and I go out like that to win your heart over to me again. This is the story. So the Quran is challenging that saying. You recognize that God is a merciful benefactor, that he was generous to mankind and gave him a beautiful creation to serve his needs and gave him abundantly. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he gives without counting. And the Bible says, so there is no limit to his mercy. It is infinitive. No counting can count the end. You never know. You cannot go to the end of his generosity and mercy. The Quran says no number can be put on what he gives us, mankind. The Quran says you acknowledge that he is El-Rahman, but he is also El-Rahim and has given the bounty that he gives you. In giving you that, he also illustrates his mercy because to give so generously, that is kindness, that is mercy, that is love. Wasn't all of that established before? This is the argument of the Quran saying, didn't he establish before that he loved you? So we have to say he had to come here in the flesh to love you. All that given before, wasn't that love? So it repeats Al-Rahman coming from mercy. The root word of Al-Rahman is mercy. And Al-Rahim, the root word, is mercy. So no, there is one God, and he is in both the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. You have misjudged the God of the Old Testament, and his generosity was mercy. And you claim that the second manifestation of him in the New Testament is him. No, he had that all the time. He has never been without those two mercies. These two mercies have always been with him. He has always been El-Rahman and El-Rahim. He didn't have to come in the flesh of Jesus Christ to establish that he is El-Rahman, and he didn't have to do it to establish he is El-Rahim. So it is condemning this duality of God. Trinity of God, really, but the duality is challenging directly that there is but one God. So the one you misjudged in the Old Testament, you didn't see his mercy. You are wrongly identifying him. He is the merciful. He is the generous and merciful. And the one that you claim is the Redeemer. Jesus Christ come to redeem that which was lost, to bring it back, to restore what was lost. Not just the people, but to restore the quality of life back to the people that they lost. So he is the Redeemer. And his mercy is the in the Bible is called redemptive mercy. Isn't this mercy? And isn't it redeeming at the same time? So this is the meaning and the answer that we should understand. Jesus, one of the Jews, God put himself in his wrong. So he is El Rahman and El Rahim, then praise. Who are you going to praise? If you're going to say one of the Jews that God has put himself in, and he has come in the flesh of the Jews to save the world, then who are we going to pray to? Israel and Jesus Christ. No, praise is to God only, not the Lord of Israel, but the Lord of all the world. So here it is challenging and condemning their claim that God is their Lord to the exclusion of others, other people, and only other people, Lord, by adaptation. So this is the Bible. I know the Bible. Don't think I don't. Adopted into Judaism is not as an equal. Israel will eat the riches of the Gentiles. It says the Jews are the only begotten of God, and the other can become the children of God by adaptation. It is an adopt child equal to the child who comes from the parent? How is he going to have the quality of the parent? There is not guarantees he is going to have the equality of the parent when he is adopted. And that is exactly what they are trying to say. I'm not doing this to attack this. I'm doing this to save us so we have the right understanding. I don't need to attack them. God is enough for them. He has them. Don't think he has it. He has them by the jugular vein and the umbilical cord, both. Maliki Yom Medin, you are claiming that you are the only begotten, and he is your Lord in the exclusion of others, and you are presenting him all over again and saying he was too harsh so that the more kind faith has to come. So you say this so-called son of his is a God who is kind and loving. No, you're making all these mistakes. And you speak of the king of Israel, not the king of any other people. And everybody is going to have to recognize their king and bring their treasures and put them at the feet of their king. This is the Bible. It is not going to be your king. This is going to be the only king. This God we are talking about here, who is being revealed all over again. The true identity is being revealed. So he is going to be the only king on the day of judgment. Some translators say the sole master on the day of judgment. He's going to be the master on the day of judgment or the day of religion. When religion manifests, and this is what the Quran is doing, it is manifesting religion in the true picture. And when that true picture is established, that is going to be judgment day for who? Day of judgment for man who presents himself as God, man of sin in the throne of God. So we think it is going to be a judgment day for the guy who sold a bag of reefer or something. That person is of no importance in the scheme of God. It is going to be judgment day for the bigger criminal than that. It is going to be judgment day for the one who exalted himself, as the Bible says, and aspires to put himself in the very seat of God as God. So this is the Bible. He desires to put himself in this very seat of God, on the throne of God, and present himself to the world as God. Now that is the big criminal that the Quran is against. And it is going to be his day, judgment day, for him and all of his followers who choose to be with him or will separate from him when he is condemned. Isn't that a clear and easy judgment? Doesn't it take all the complication out of understanding the judgment? Why should God have to intervene and come into the picture to judge if we are doing nothing but having sex unlawfully and getting drunk, taking some drug, and whatever, shooting and killing each other? Our own hearts have been created to repent those acts, but our heart can't repent the act of Satan. It's too deep and too high above our head. So God has to bring about a judgment. After we recognize the truth of his identity, then we ask for help. Now, as for the right one for help, Iyaka na'abudu, we are ready to worship you now, God. We see clearly, but the innocent soul and the heart of Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, could not worship that God that Israel presented. He wasn't ready to worship that God. No, indeed. But now that we see you clearly and we see you separate from the false charges made against you, now we say you alone, Iyaka, means only you. You alone do we worship and you alone we seek for help. Then we say, Ihdina siratu mustaqim. Ihdina siratu mustaqim. Guide us because we have been misguided by this false religion and these false claims, our Lord. So now you guide us, our God, on the straight way, the way of those you favor. You didn't favor these crooks who did this wrong thing. Now those who encourage your wrath, the Old Testament is all about Jews incurring the wrath of God, even while they had a prophet living amongst them. They were rebellious against him and incurring the wrath of God. That was Moses and others too, and not those who erred and went astray. How can they err? Because they followed the Jews who themselves erred and went astray. They didn't follow their prophet. He found you wondering. Sad means right away. Summa means it didn't happen right away. For those who come into the darkness and lost the way, innocently, are the Christians. Now, we know that more than the Christians are the darlings, but if you would be asked to question those who went astray in Al-Fatiha, who were they? You would first have to say the Christians. The others are minor strayers. The Christians are the major strayers. Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, himself was straying. It says in the Quran, وَوَجَدَاكَ دَالٍ فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَاكَ دَالٍ فَهَدَى. He found you straying, and right away he guided you because you were innocent. It did not say ثُمَّ هَدَى. It says فَهَدَى. ثُمَّ means it didn't happen right away. That means right away. So he guided you because you were innocent. Isn't that beautiful? We have been reading that and we never thought that he strayed. But it is saying all the time that Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, strayed. We didn't register it. Turning to Jerusalem was worship Jews past glory. turn your face to Kaaba. So he was following the best of his nature, but he couldn't unlock this thing. Satan was too powerful. He strayed when he turned to Jerusalem and told the believers to follow him in prayers facing it. He strayed then. He wasn't supposed to worship their political victory. And they had in the great days for them as a kingdom. The kingdom of Solomon is commemorating them in their glory. And his hearts and souls couldn't bear it. So God said, we had seen you in your distress, and now we are going to turn you to a Qibla that will please you. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saving us from the world. That is what he has done. Dua before eating, addressing the Last Supper. El Hadith, page 2, 123, 13 to 17. Whenever you recite the Quran, you don't have to do this when you eat. There is a different dua for eating. It asks only to pronounce the name of God when you eat. That is to recall God, his name, Bismillah, and we can eat. But most of us say more than that. Some of us say the whole Al-Fatiha. And then there are other traditional duas to say. I like the one that says, praise be to God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gives us our food and gives us that for our thirst, and who has made or caused us to come together as believers. I like that dua because it's addressing the Last Supper when Jesus represented the Word of God, personified in the world, told them to take of his flesh, and that the bread was the symbol of his flesh, and to drink of his blood, and the wine was a symbol of his blood. Drink symbolizes thirst for spiritual understanding. So this is given food and bread came first, right? And then a drink. Eladahi and Tanel. Food first, wasakina, and then drink. And then he brought us to as Muslims. It is deep. There is a lot of meaning in that. This thirsting is not thirst for physical food. It is the thirst for spiritual understanding. In the book, you hear the people expressing that they thirst to know, to understand. So they thirst to see their Lord as he is. So this is a spiritual hunger that is called a thirsting. And then they also want to be delivered from their cruel ruler who denied them the things of the world that God created for them to have. They take the wealth and keep them in poverty. So they also wanted to have the material too, not just the spiritual. So these are the two things. Material is associated with a science of knowledge, and spiritual is associated with a science of knowledge. So you want to carry it a little further to be at home with the real issue. Then it is not just a thing for personal benefit. No, it's religion, the spiritual life that we have been called to, that we have in this world. It leaves us thirsting, wanting more understanding. So this is something we want to come into our spiritual teaching. So we are thirsting for what? The spiritual science, not for stuff that they gave us without guidance. Rational sense are social sciences. Pardon me. Rational sciences are social sciences. So this is a thirst for the spiritual sciences. And the other is the meat. And also the rational sciences. One refers to the spiritual science and the other refers to the rational science. So the rational science or social science. So this is where the thing went bad in the religion. Those who wanted to dominate the world and keep the majority of the people ignorant so they can rule them and shortchange them and not have to worry about them, occupied them with mysteries. What they did, they took the social science out of the religion and just gave us the spiritual science, but hid the real keys for unlocking even the spiritual science. They separated the social and got rid of the social science, the social logic, not teaching the social logic and the social sciences. Crucified blood from Jesus' side is symbolic of the loss of the social sciences. So Jesus stabbed, then water and blood came out. They got rid of that out of the religion. That is the sacrificing the blood in secret. So drink. So don't think of the cross as something that really happened. The cross is a revealing, hidden revelation from the average person. So they don't know what happened and don't know what it is talking about. But the shedding of blood is taking of the social science out from the teachings of Jesus Christ, or the body and the knowledge that Jesus Christ represents. It is taking spiritual science out of it. It is separating the two so they are not living together inside the body of knowledge. They are not existing and performing together inside the one body of knowledge. They are separate. Spiritual on the one side, social on the other side. Isn't that just what we have in America? Come willingly or unwillingly. Jesus came by way of water and blood. So we have the circular world and the social science being taught to us by the secular world. And the spiritual science left with the spiritual world. Whatever this is, how it is. It is a separation. Jesus didn't come to separate that. He said, I come not only of water, I come of water and blood. And what did he come for? To reconcile the two, that means bring them together in one life where they belong. Water and blood belong in the same life. To reconcile them means there was mistakes in them, mistakes in the science and in the education that causes these things to be adverse in opposition to one another. And God made them to be in agreement with one another. So he comes to reconcile them. It means to bring them back into agreement, bring those two lives into agreement, a spiritual life and the social life. So when a man is searching for understanding in religion, like I have all my life almost, you don't have the social interests and the spiritual interests at odds with one another. They are working together. Social interests and my intelligence is working with my spiritual interests and my intelligence. They both are working together. I'm not seeking to have understanding in my spiritual life only. I want to understand it in my social and my spiritual life. And I want the spiritual understanding to better my social life. That is what I want. That is what I want it for. So that my social life will be free and better. So they are together. And Jesus came to bring them together, but the same Jesus who came to bring them together crucified, and they are separated. The Gnostic order of the church. The Gnostic order of the church. Look what happened to his mission. When he came, he addressed social issues, didn't he? Not just spiritual issues. In the New Testament, the coming of Jesus is the coming of a man who addresses social issues and spiritual issues He questioned their theology, how they understood God. He questioned their understanding of spiritual matter. But he looked at the suffering of the people and turned his heart towards them. And then he charged them with being negligent. And he told them to care for those suffering people. So here is a man who came addressing social issues and spiritual issues, and he is a morally upright and a pure person, very just, and that was lost. Then they established the Gosnic order of the church. That order remained until El-Islam came. Only El-Islam broke them from that order. So when El-Islam came, they began to reform the church. But it wasn't until the late, after El-Islam, that they really made the complete reformation and brought the church to be involved in its social life of the people. And the first Czech college and university established for the Western world were headed by the church, under the church. The very church that freed the people to have these things, they were denied them under the old church. The Gosnic order had to yield to the government. It freed them, and they grew powerful, got support of the masses. Then the church had to yield to the influence and power of the government, and then they established themselves as a spiritual order, a spiritual kingdom only. And the government took over the social life, political life, economic life, and everything but the spiritual. So that is how they exist until now. So that is being challenged now. And the authority in the White House don't have any respect for that old language. They do not want. They do what they want to do, and they are getting by with it. They are getting the support of the preachers. I read a caption in the newspaper or in the paper. Is Bush changing things, separation of church and state? Is Bush changing that? No, Bush is just saying, you got by with what you did, and I'm going to get by with what I'm doing. So by in is Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, means with, and it could also mean by. They translated in or with. I like with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The praise is for God. We do not have a verb yet. The praise is for God. How is this? The praise for God. I can't praise the brother for doing good works. Yes, you can. It did not say him. It said alhamdulillah. You mean the praise has connection with the scripture. Problems in the scripture that came before. And the key. Understand that this is addressing problems in the scripture of the people who had strayed. They had gone from the right understanding. So woe and all speak well of you. The prophet David in the Bible, he said, woe is me when everyone should praise me. Those are David's words in the Old Testament. Woe means I'm finished. All is lost for me if everyone should praise me. I was attracted to that as a young man, a little older than my son who is right here now. When I heard that, I said to myself, any person is finished when everybody is praising them. If everybody is praising you, you are no good. If you are a righteous person or a good person, you don't want anybody to praise you but good people. And if the wrong person praises you, you get suspicious of them and want to get away from them. The Bible says, praise the Lord of Israel so much until it establishes stubble. The praise is for Israel. Clever, isn't it? Isn't that Satan clever? It says that no, that it says that so much that effects of it on the soul of the innocent person trying to come to God is that Israel is to be praised. Isn't that what it says? It says he inspired to put himself in the very seat of God, up in the heavens, and show himself to the world as the God. So we have description of God in Bismillah Rahman Rahim. It's invitation for us to seek him first and seek him by his true name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it means that only God, the same, the name itself, covers the meaning of the only God. There is no God but that God. That name says there is no God but that God. Then we get description of him, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And then we offer praise to him, Alhamdulillahi, Rabbil Alameen. So the law of the all, the Lord, the law of all worlds, not the Lord of one particular world or one particular people. Then we repeat Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, because the people who are being addressed up there, they were followed by another people who said God had to repent his own works and send the Redeemer to come into the world as a Redeemer, as Jesus Christ. No, the same one up here who is the Lord of the world, and he is really established as the merciful benefactor, the merciful Redeemer. So it is repeating because he is the same one, even after Israel. And the next one is saying that not only the Jews are wrong and straying, right? This, but also the Christians are wrong. That is what it is saying right here. He is Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim himself, not through a son or anything like that. Then he is judged. He is the one who is going to judge. So everybody, Maliki Yawmiddin. So far, no verb yet. Iyaka Nahabudu. Here comes the verb. You alone do we worship. And you alone we seek for help. So you worship in Jesus Christ, and that is how you're worshiping God. Or you ask Jesus Christ to help you or save you. Or Israel to save you. No, you go directly to God of all the worlds. You worship him, ask him to accept you. And you ask him for help. What kind of help is this? It is to ask him to ask the judge to be lenient and not give me 10 years, but give me 2, please God. Not that is a little petty stuff. Your community will help you there. You don't need God to help you. If you are innocent, your community will help you. This is not that kind of help. This is the big help that nations need, and they have been misled to believe they are to see it by the wrong means and the wrong light. Not the right light has come. We seek the help from God to serve not one person from criminal, no, serve our world. This is help to have our world saved. And nobody can save our world but God. So it says, only you, we ask for help. Only you return to worship. You and only you, we ask for help. This is a big help to help save the world to help save the nation. Mustaqim goes straight up. Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim. Guide us on the straight way. So this Mustaqim, does it go like the street of Chicago or like the street of Markham? No. It goes this way. It is not necessarily a three-lane highway. Sometimes it's just one lane. And you have to take another lane to come down. So this is Mustaqim. So what kind of help? We ask God for first. Help, the help for our own souls and our own life, our own body, that it goes straight up to heaven. Why to heaven? Because the heavens up there connects us with the whole of creation. And just looking at the earth, we see just a small little speck. But when the night comes and we see the sky up there, we see the picture of the whole, the universe. It takes us from a local situation to a bigger situation, or a small situation to a much bigger situation. So it is saying, evolve us, elevate us, help us ascend higher, and higher in the spirit, and in the soul, and in the quality of life. Up there, God, are your signs of peace and harmony, cooperation, mutual effects for existence. They work together up there to stay in perfect order. So all the great meanings we see in the heavens that we miss down here, looking at the small earth sometimes. So we want to ascend in our own matter. We want to graduate in our own matter. We want to rise up like a plant. The Quran says, he made your existence like a plant from a seed dead, and then go upward into more and more patterns, beauty, design, symmetry, and in work and in production, etc. So this is the Mustaqim. To be upright, to be truthful, and wish and grow into a better state and into a better form. It is going to be made unsafe, the breath, by his strain to advance his life, especially his material world. The air is going to become unsafe, but the higher we go, the more we get away from his bad air. The higher we go up, the more we free ourselves of his bad air. Industrial man's bad air. Look at the human body. We stand here, the feet can get very smelly if you do not clean them. And you know what happens in this area groans. You have to work hard to keep to clean, and you come up here, and sometimes that which is down there comes out here, and it stinks from here, from the mouth. But where does, from where the nose is, you stop there, and the body is not throwing out any trouble for us. So up here we are, the vision is there is no trouble. All the bad stuff is coming out mostly down here in the lower region. And some up here occasionally, but it is not too much trouble. Up here we can take of that. But there is no way we can stop the other. We have a special place to go for that. Look what happened. I want you to see the world as the thinker sort of world. The thinker who served God, who sought God, God's guidance. God guided them to see the world long time ago, ancient time, before religion, as we know it now. Before there was a preaching of Judaism, preaching of Christianity, preaching of El Islam, there were seers who saw these things. Those people who established themselves used the knowledge of the people who were already in these sciences before them. Then they put it into the religion. Seers were among idol pagans who produced great things. We destroyed people greater than you. They got a new idea of how they should relate to all, to the one God and to the one system. And they put it into a beautiful language. Scripture guided by God. I'm not saying that it is not revealed. God inspired them and God revealed to them. But they had it, those people whose nations are called pagan idol worshippers. Amongst those, people were people who had the light. They were not all pagan. That is why God allowed them to produce such great things. Many of them had great civilizations. They accomplished great things, science and civilization. And in Quran, it is mentioned over and over again. You glorify in what you have done their nations that have come up on this earth and have gone, and they did the likes of your doing. And some of them had better and more than you. Seeing the world correctly will help your soul be at peace. It will help you feel good inside. You ascend higher air. The higher you go, with more, you get away from the bad air. You get pure air up there. So this mustaqim is also an ascension from the impure up to the pure, and from the darkness up to the light. So this path is a path from impurity to an increase in purity, always from impurity, and in an increase in understanding. A light away from darkness and ignorance. That is what this path is going up straight. And it is a path of part truths, to all truth, the whole truth. The whole truth is seen in the whole universe. It cannot be seen in just the earth. If you want to know the whole science, the whole reality, you have to have a perception of the universe, a perception of the matter connecting, extending throughout the space. Infidelity, validity. This is the truth. This is the truth's picture. Earth is limited. You can travel through it. You can travel all around it. Now you can take a car and go all around the world. You put your car on the boat, and it will take you there, and you can drive your car on any continent, in any town. We know because people are doing that. So this is a small truth down here. You are moving upward from the small truth to the big truth, to the whole truth. That is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Mustaqim is vertical up, Sabila. Sabila is horizontal. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Did he say mustaqim and stop? No. He said enfusiku. Enfusiku fasabilahi. Translated, spend in the path of God or in the way of God. So here is mustaqim vertical up and going this way horizontal. Is the Sabil, the Sabila, is a path going horizontal with the surface of the earth. Mustaqim is vertical up, Sabila is horizontal. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Did he say mustaqim and stop? No. He said, enfusiku fasabilahi. Translated, spin in the path of God or in the way of God. So here is the mustaqim vertical up and going this way horizontally is the sabil. The sabilah is the path going horizontally with the surface of the earth. So this is to say of the sabil, horizontal established goals into the earth. Quran says your life is as a plant. And so this mustaqim must have a root down here in the earth, like a plant. The picture of your life is the picture of a plant. That is what God says in the Quran. Or the likeness of your life, which means pictures, is the likeness of the plant life, or a parable of man's life. Human life is the parable of a plant. It goes down into the earth. What goes down here in the earth, the roots of this life, are down in the earth. And what are those roots doing? They're getting food and water from the earth. And that beginning in the earth manifests or projects itself upward. And we see what was in the earth feeding and drinking to grow. And in the earth may be things that are of bad taste and things that will actually make you sick, but the roots of this life will filter what is taken from the earth, and it draws only up unto itself what that which is healthy and good for itself. That's the plant rejects what is bad for it, and it takes from the earth that which is good for it, and it even makes the water pure. It filters the water. So this is the path of mustaqim, down here in the earth, taking the best of the minerals without the filth, taking the best of the water without the pollution and without the bad taste. And it's feeding the body, and it is growing up straight. Mercy in three limbs is saved from bending burden. So the body won't throw out a limb way out here that is heavy and big and throw one out here that is light to cause it not to be straight, bent over. It throws them out equally. Similarly, in symmetry, balance, it throws a branch all out equally. So it keeps it straight, keeping the balance. Great reveals the balance, the burden. We see mercy in here too. The path of the mustaqim is the path of mercy and kindness. It doesn't want to burden the structure. So to balance, so the structure is not unduly burdened and not bent out of shape. It keeps it straight, mustaqim. So if we would like this, we could teach from one little sign, and you could give that as the principle of your life. You are saved. There is enough in one picture to save your life. Mustaqim and the Sabil is the cross of life. Crucify the body on opposite side. Every man has his own vine and fig tree. Take up not his cross. Mustaqim on the horizontal brings man to one family. It is a path that finds its life on the Sabila, on the way that is horizontal that connects us with other men and women, other friends and families, other continents, and other nations. The path that will eventually bring us to the one family on earth, living and working together for the good of all. What do you see there? You see a cross. I don't want you getting a cross that will tell me you don't see at all. So this is the true cross of life, the one that they claim they crucified Jesus Christ on is the cross of death, the Sabil of God. And the mustaqim of human excellence, of human aspirations, human ascension, in the path of God, the bounties that he created to support our life and connect our life. This is the cross of life. Anchor cross, psychologically, of human life. Did Muslims have it before? No. The Egyptians had it before. The Jews had it. And the Christians had it before. We had it. Egyptians had it, and they called it the anchor, cross of life. But their knowledge was limited, not as big as ours, but don't think. They didn't know how to make the connection with heaven. They studied the stars above. They made connections with the earth, sciences, and astronomy. They had all of that, the ancient Egyptians. They had the cross, the powerful psychological. They had much knowledge of psychological of human life and behavior. They had much of that science, and they could master their masses. So their masses was no problem for them. They should keep this, they could keep their masses in check. They knew how to keep their masses in check. Salakallahu Ladeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Day. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Marad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.